Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The folk and Son Mexicano band David Wax Museum is currently on a tour that marks their 1,000th show and their 10th anniversary. To mark the occasion, they've released Electric Artifacts, an album of outtakes and rarities. The duo of David Wax and Suze Slezak will be joined by their full band with a horn section for a show this Sunday at 7 p.m. at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York. David Wax joins us now to tell us more. David Wax, welcome to the Roundtable.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this tour that you're on is marking the 10th anniversary of David Wax Museum. Can you believe it?
It's gone by pretty fast. We've been kind of deep in parenthood for the last 4 years, even as we've continued to tour and put out records. So I think my sense of time is altered and kind of defined by the sleeplessness and just all the things that new parents feel.
So you have two kids, and so the oldest one is four?
That's right. She's going to be turning four this fall. And we just had our son was born in March, so he's going on 6 months now.
And how did you decide or feel out touring with the kids? How did you make that work? How did you know, or why did you want to make that work?
Well, I think that, especially for Suze, she had a vision of a life where her family and her work were all of a whole and integrated. And so it was a natural kind of evolution to kind of just bring our kids into our life, into our professional life in terms of just what we do, living on the road, kind of bringing them into that wide community that we have that supports what we're doing as touring musicians. For me, I think we knew that we wanted to have a family, and we saw a lot of really positive examples of other parents that continued to tour and make it work. They weren't always like us, with both parents in the band, having to be on stage every night. But we saw a couple different models, either in the Caroline Chocolate Drops or Mike and Ruthie, Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny. So we knew it could be done. And we've kind of just tried to approach it like it's not a big deal. It's just our life and it's the kids' life. And we feel really fortunate that we all get to be together so much.
At 6 months and almost 4 years, are they displaying any musical interest thus far?
It's hard to say. I think our four-year-old is just, she's just breathing the music as any kid that just grows up around it. And she loves to sing. Her name, Calliope, means beautiful voice. And so maybe that's a lot of weight to put on a kid, but she loves to sing. And her favorite record is actually her mom's lullaby record. Suze put out a lullaby record 2 years ago. That's her favorite record, and she knows all the words to that.
Speaking of records, you've put out a new album called Electric Artifacts. It's an album of outtakes and rarities. To mark the occasion of your 10th anniversary and your 1,000th show being performed this month, tell me about Electric Artifacts, how you put it together, how you chose what would be on it.
We've recorded a lot of records in the last decade, and I don't have... I'm able to generate a lot of songs for each record cycle. So we usually go in with more than enough songs, and inevitably some just get cut out. You know, we never finish recording them, or we don't even start. And then others we record and kind of fully actualize them, and then for a number of reasons, they don't make the final cut onto the record. Usually it's because there's just too many slow songs in the batch, and so we usually just put a couple on per record and try to keep the... For the most part, the records have been pretty up-tempo, upbeat. So we've had a lot of these slower, but songs that for me are, I have a real personal investment in. They're some of my favorite songs. I think some of my best work. So they've just kind of been gathering dust. And they all kind of felt like they sat well together as a collection once we listened to them together. So it seemed like a great occasion now, marking a decade of being together as a band. Seemed like the perfect moment to kind of share them with our fans. And there were also two songs that we started to record for Guest House, the last full-length record, and they just didn't come together in the studio. And one of them, it's called At Least I Tried, we went into the studio thinking that would be the single, the record. Our manager and booking agent and other people kind of on our team thought, all right, this is the song. We got to get this one and do it, you know, do it well. And then it couldn't come together in the studio for whatever reason. We kind of disassembled the song and then couldn't put it back together again. We never finished it. And so we finally went back into the studio with another producer and kind of brought a fresh pair of ears to it and had some distance and were able to kind of reimagine it. And so it was exciting to kind of this song salvaged from the dustbin to kind of bring it back to life. And it felt exciting to kind of have the songs from the last four records, the outtakes, the B-sides, and then to also have this brand new stuff that we'd reimagined to kind of have it almost like this archaeological dig. Like there's the newest stuff and kind of all the new directions that we're thinking about for our future musically. And then there's kind of the layers of the past of all the previous records and you know, really you can kind of hear the evolution of our sound that way.
Oh, my aging parents losing their sleep over me, much to their embarrassment. I'm not where they thought I'd be. Oh, I was a dreamer, dreaming a life beyond my own. Sweep up all the streamers, the dream was overblown. Well, I tried and I failed, at least I tried. Tried and I failed, at least I tried.
It's funny that one of the songs that you tried to put together and then weren't able to before is called At Least I Tried.
The irony was not lost on us throughout the process. I don't want to say it's a downer of the song, but it is, you know, a song about kind of having a vision or a dream and kind of having to adjust your reality to you know, not being able to kind of reach that vision exactly and kind of having to figure out how you live with a different version of that dream. So maybe that's kind of a little bit of a downer note to start off our 10-year anniversary. But I think that it's honest and it comes from a place of acceptance, and still there's a lot of positive energy in that song. It doesn't sound like a downer to me. So I hope people don't take it too darkly.
I'm no longer self-righteous, not high on anybody's horse. My star's no longer the brightest, but at least I'm born in North. Well, I tried.
Jumping sort of back a little bit for listeners to the radio station who mightn't be familiar, can you remind me what instruments you and Suze each play?
Sure. When we're performing live, I go back and forth between an acoustic guitar and a little Mexican guitar called a jarana jarocha. It looks like a ukulele, but it's strummed more like a flamenco-style Spanish guitar. And it's from southern Veracruz, Mexico. And Suze, when we're live with the band, she's playing keyboards, accordion, fiddle, and she also plays the quijada de burro, the donkey jawbone, which is a traditional instrument from Mexico.
The show you're playing at Cafe Lina on September 17th is a full band with a horn section. You want to tell me about who you're bringing on the road with you for these full band shows?
We've been touring with a pretty consistent rhythm section for the last 2 years. Danilo Enriquez plays drums, sings, and is a great trumpet player. And Ben Cogan is our bass player. And we're bringing an electric guitarist, our friend Anthony DaCosta, who's mostly been touring these days with Sarah Jarosz, and is a great singer-songwriter in his own right. And then we've got a horn player that's been with us on and off since the beginning and has done a lot of the horn arrangements on the record, the great Alex Spiegelman, and he'll be playing all the woodwinds. And our friend Cole came in green on the trumpet, and both those guys are from a band called Cuddle Magic. So we, it'll be a big, full band. And this will be our first time in the new and improved Cafe Lena. So we're excited to see it in all its glory.
We're almost out of time, but before we go, I wanted to ask you to tell me about the song Wheelbarrow Baby.
Late, you've had many reasons to cry. I could sing you the saddest song, but it would be a mouse. To the bull, that is the sadness. Barreling through your house, I'll be yours. Baby, that's right. Kick up your feet. The streets are narrow. The stars will pass like sparrows tonight. White sparrows falling fast. Oh, tonight.
Wheelbarrow Baby when we were going into the sessions for Everything Is Saved, so that's about 7 years ago or so. I'm not sure why it didn't make the cut on the record. I think it was, again, that question of just having a lot of slower tempo songs, and it was one of those songs where we kind of revisited it, weren't sure it was going to make this record, but then the producer Sam Katsir remixed it. And all of a sudden, just with a couple small changes, it came to life for us. And we were like, gosh, where was that song from? Why did we leave that behind? We haven't played it in years. But it was a song that we rediscovered by going through this process of finding songs for the record.
I'll be your wheelbarrow, baby. I'll be your baby. Stars will pass like sparrows tonight.
And so we're really excited to get to bring it back into the mix and to start playing it again.
Did you go up to Sam's studio in Maine to work on this?
We went up for those two songs, At Least I Tried and Betray Everyone. And the rest he just mixed from his home studio, remixed. He'd recorded a lot of the songs, and so he revisited a bunch of them, and then we just were sending them back and forth. But we did get to go back up on two separate occasions to finish those first two tracks.
He's so great. I met him once a while ago. I don't know enough about the production of music to speak to a music producer about what they do, but I listen to enough music to know that Sam is very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those special producers that, for us it was, we met him at a real pivotal time for us. And I think he can play that role in a really special way, where a band's just kind of like figuring out what its sound is, what's unique about itself. And in those early phases, it can be so helpful to have a producer that kind of can see through all the things you're trying and kind of identify what makes your sound special and unique, and then help bring that to the fore. And that's a pretty special talent to have. And for us, it was pretty transformational.
David Wax Museum will perform with full band and horn section at the new Cafe Lena September 17th. It's a great treat to speak with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
David Wax Museum will perform at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York on Sunday at 7 p.m. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.